My youngest daughter is now 31 years old. And so this story goes back a bit, but I remember when we first brought her home, she was an infant, could not have been more than 6 or 9 months old. And we were still in that, whose turn is it to get up tonight, because she's not sleeping through the night. And so when she didn't sleep through the night, we didn't sleep through the night. You remember that, how that one goes? And so it was my turn. And so I was so tired. I got up, and when she started fussing, took her downstairs, and didn't even turn on the lights. We were over in Germantown, Maryland at the time. And I remember sitting down, and we had a rocking chair that we used. We had purchased it before our first child, Jennifer, was born, and it was one of those big accomplishments for us, because we were still in Bible college at that point. Didn't have two nickels to rub together, but that was one of the things that we wanted. And still have that rocking chair, by the way. It's almost 40 years old now. And I remember taking Stephanie downstairs and sitting in the rocking chair. And she liked to be rocked. And so she laid her head on my chest. And as I rocked back and forth, she began to quiet down. And after a few moments, she was asleep. But I was afraid to get up and go back upstairs, right? Because if I get up and move, she is going to wake up. And so I'm sitting there in the dark of night, probably 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And I begin to look around the room. And after a few moments, my eyes adjusted. And I begin to see all the different pieces of furniture in the room, begin to look at the house and begin to look at the things that were there. And as I begin to think about God's goodness in my life, started with her. She's quiet. She's resting. She's asleep. Such a precious, precious gift from God. And then I thought about the rocking chair and remembered when we bought it and brought it home. You know, didn't pay very much money for it. But for us, it was the world. It was something that we wanted. I began to look around and I saw some lamps that were in the room. Again, one of those victories, because we had no money and somebody had them on sale and they had mismarked them in the paper. And so they were marked way, way down, and we went and we're like, we want those lamps. And the lady's like, well, that's pretty expensive. And we're like, no, according to your paper, this is what it cost. We got them, took them home. And so I began to look at all the blessings of God in our life. I began to think about the ministry that He'd given us. It was our first church. We couldn't have been there for very long at all at that point, because Stephanie was born soon after we got there. And I began to think of God's blessing in our life, and I was just overwhelmed by His abundance. In David's words tonight from the 23rd Psalm, I begin to feel like my cup was running over. Read with me, if you would, that 23rd Psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil." And then the phrase that I want to think with you about tonight: "My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, I think that abundance of God's blessing in his life is what David is talking about here in this passage, in this little phrase here. My cup overflows. It means to have something in abundance. It means to have more than is necessary. It's used about 15 times in the Old Testament. And it's interesting that sometimes it's used in a physical sense, probably as used here. My cup overflows. My cup has more than it can hold. But it's quite often a metaphor for a physical, or it's a physical metaphor for a spiritual reality. God is giving me more in my life than I need. In fact, I have so much that it's flowing out of my life and into the life of people around me. David here is talking about, you know, what God has done in his life. And if you go back and you look at the psalm thus far, it started off in a good place, the Lord being his shepherd, in the green pastures, in the still waters. the paths of righteousness, but then he went into a dark place. He went into the valley of the shadow of death. But regardless of where he had been, what David is saying is that God is giving him more than he needs. In fact, this word, when it's translated many times, talks about satisfaction. To be sated, to have everything that I need and more. Sometimes physically, but quite often spiritually, as I thought about that. I thought about that cup. I thought about that abundance. I thought about that overflowing blessing of God in our lives. My mind went immediately to a story in the New Testament. And so I'm going to spend the balance of our time there. I want to look with you as Jesus talks about what it means to be satisfied by God. What it means to be filled by God. What it means to have so much of God in your life that your cup overflows. He's challenging a woman one day that he meets. It's probably a very familiar story to you, but I'm going to read it for you in its entirety. And then we're going to talk about how Jesus is challenging her with her lack and her need, helping her to see that, because sometimes we don't see our need. Sometimes we think everything is okay, and it's only when we slow down, it's only when we still ourselves, it's only when things get quiet, that we begin to realize there's more need in our life than we realized there was. Scripture says, now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, and near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, and a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. There was a cultural and a religious divide. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you've nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And he told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you're right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is that you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus declared, believe me, a time is coming when we will worship the Father neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. I want to think with you just for a few moments tonight about what it means to be in need and to be filled, not physically, though in both instances, both in Psalm 23, when David is talking about his cup overflowing, it's probably a wine cup that's overflowing with wine. And here in this instance, it's talking about physical water. But in both, I think what God is doing is he's communicating to us a physical reality that sheds some light onto his spiritual truth. First thing that I want you to notice here is that in this passage, there is some need. Both of them had need. Both of them had a need for physical water. Jesus was thirsty. He'd been on a journey. His disciples had gone into town. He didn't have anything to draw water from the well. The woman had a need for water. She went there with that in mind. She came to the well to draw water. But see, Jesus saw beyond the physical. He saw that she also had other needs. Need for relationship. Need for companionship. A need for acceptance. A need for God. He always zeroes in on the truth. He always zeroes in on what is most important. He always zeroes in on the heart of the matter. Now, he had other supply. He could have called, as the Scripture told us in another place, 10,000 angels to lift him up and give him every single thing that he needed. But she did not, and he knew it. In reality, what he's offering her is an exchange. I'm going to give you spiritual water. If you'll just understand that you have that need in your life. And you see, that's a conclusion that we have to reach as well. We have to come to that place in our life where we know we have spiritual need as well. All kinds of needs. But most importantly, we share the same need that she had. The need for spiritual relationship with God. Before we're ever ready to be satisfied, before we're ever ready to come to that place where our cup overflows, we have to acknowledge our need. And Jesus is leading her down that path. He's helping her to see what up until this point perhaps she really hasn't fully grasped. Second thing that we have to do is we have to be willing to let someone else help us. Will you give me a drink? That shocked her. Because in that day and age, the Jews and the Samaritans did not interact. In that day and age, a good Jewish man would never accept a drink of water from a Samaritan. They had all kinds of derogatory words for them. There was this huge racial and cultural divide. But to Jesus, that has meant absolutely nothing. He sees what God sees. He sees the heart. He sees people. He doesn't see color. He doesn't see race. He doesn't see creed. He doesn't see anything other than a child of God. And so he reaches out to her. Will you give me a drink? So he didn't need her help. He could have called someone else, but he allowed her into his life. Because he understood this. He understood that she really did need him. And just like you and I sometimes, she didn't even know what she needed. She needed a relationship with God, but she thought that what she had was enough. She needed strength. She needed the ability to deal with the everyday trials of life. If you just pause and think about what is going on here in this story. The woman has showed up at a time of day that's not typical for women to come to the well. It was a very, very community-oriented activity. Typically, they would all show up together, but she's not showed up together. She's not showed up at the typical time. She's shown up at a different time, all alone. Probably a reason for that. And Jesus sees that. He acknowledges that. He knows what's going on. And so he challenges her to open up her heart. He challenges her. He's saying to her, listen, you have to be willing to allow me to help. Now she's drawing back. She's not so sure she wants to be involved in this kind of discussion. She's found ways to compensate for where she is. We all do that, right? We all settle for something that doesn't truly satisfy at times. That's the third thing I want to point out to you here. We have to be very careful in our spiritual life to avoid some way of false satisfaction. I don't want to belabor the point or I don't want to be judgmental. But in reality, she had evidently decided that the hole in her life, the hole in her heart, is going to be filled with relationships. Now, pick your poison. That might not be your poison. Her choice may not be your choice. But we all have a poison. We all have something that tends to be that go-to place in our life when we feel that emotional and spiritual absence, that emotional and spiritual lack. Most of us have one of those areas. Here's the key. Satan loves nothing better than convincing us that some other thing other than God will satisfy our heart. Any other thing other than God will satisfy our heart. He will give us, offer us, provide for us, put in front of us all kinds of things that we don't want, that we don't need, until we see them, and then all of a sudden we decide, you know what, that's what I need. That will satisfy me. I thought I had that kind of stuff under control. And then when we were on vacation a couple of weeks ago, I won a watch. Did I tell you this story yet? Let me tell you the story. Okay, so I want a watch. Now, it's interesting. You know, you notice I don't wear jewelry of any kind.
I just don't wear jewelry. I haven't worn a watch for probably 15 years. And so I'm at the boat, and you know, there's this long, extraordinary way of getting. First, you have to get a ticket, and then there's 1,000 tickets, and they put the 1,000 tickets in the bucket, and then they pull 1,000 tickets, pull them one at a time out of a bucket, and you have to be one of the ones that gets pulled out of the bucket. And then if you get pulled out of the bucket, you have to go up to the case that they have it all locked up in, and then there's 6 keys, and you have to pick the right key. And so, long story short, I was number 4. And I got up there, and I picked the key, and I handed it to them. I turned around and walked away because I never won anything. And they unlocked it, and they handed it to me. And they said, guess what? You just won. Now, I thought I won a $49 Timex. And I came back. My brother, who's a jeweler, looked at me and said, that's a really nice watch. I said, what do you mean? He said, that's about a $1,500 watch. I never had a watch. Never wanted a watch. Don't wear a watch. Until they gave me one. And now I'm trying to convince myself I need that watch. It's a beautiful watch. I think maybe if you see me wearing it, just smack me. I don't need a watch. But our heart will pursue all different kinds of things that we think will satisfy. She thought relationship would. And she had been through 6 evidently. And as I said, her challenge may not be your challenge, but we all have one. And if we aren't careful, we will be able to fall into that pattern. Here's what Augustine said. He said, we were created for a relationship with God. We were created, some people call it a God-shaped hole in our heart. And our heart will never be at rest until it finds its rest in Him. And we have to be very careful that we don't allow ourselves to find some other false way, some shadow way of trying to satisfy that desire in our heart. And we have to be willing to accept and believe that God can truly be the only one who will ever satisfy. That's the whole point of the story. Water from the well. Jesus said, it's only going to satisfy you for a little while. But if you'll come to the place where you will accept the water that I'm going to give, that relationship with God, that will satisfy forever. It's from within, regardless of circumstances. He says it's a spring of water that wells up from the inside, which makes it immune to the circumstances of life. It's a spiritual water from above. It comes from the Father, who knows exactly what we need. He says it is sufficient to keep us if we truly are in a relationship with Him. We will never thirst again. And it's overflowing. The word and the verb talks about a continuous activity. Jesus said, if you will just accept this water that I'm going to give you, it will satisfy the desire of your heart that you have never been able to satisfy any other way. So here's the question back to Psalm 23. How full is your cup tonight? I mean, that's a part of why we do the service this way, rather than the exciting music and the upbeat music that we do on a Sunday morning. We felt that there was a need to slow down, to still our mind and our heart, to hear from God and allow that well to spring up from within. Do you know Him? Do you have that relationship with Him? Have you come to that place in your life as she is being challenged by Jesus to allow that well of living water to spring up on the inside? If not, it doesn't matter what you pursue. It doesn't matter what you try and plug into that God-shaped hole in your heart. Only He will ultimately satisfy. And are you maintaining that relationship with Him? Are you constantly allowing that water to fill up? You see, here's the problem. We leak. It's not that God doesn't give us what we need. It's that we leak out. About 2-3 weeks ago, I got a call when I came to the office from our facilities guy, Jimmy White, and he said, Pastor, he said, you won't believe what happened. I said, well, what happened? What happened this time? Because there's always something. He said, we had the fire alarm people in, and we had the sprinkler system people in to do our annual checkup every year. They come in, they check it, they certify it, they make sure everything works right, they make sure everything is in place and going exactly the way that it should. So should there be a problem, everything is ready to go. He said, the guy went out there and he turned on the fire pump, and he said, we started pumping water. And he said about 30 seconds later, he went, you're out of water. And I looked at Jimmy and I said, that's not possible. We cannot be out of water. You see that second building that's back out there behind us? There's one after. There's a 15,000-gallon water tank in that building. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, Jimmy, there's 15,000 gallons of water in there. We can't be empty. He said, oh, yes, we can. I said, how is it possible? We've got all kind of fail safes on. He said, it's got a little light that comes on. The water level drops just a little bit. He said, well, long story short, the day later when he checked it, somebody had gone in sometime in the past. They had switched the orientation of the monitoring system. So once we filled it up, it said it was low. And when it was empty, it said it was full. That's the way we are sometimes, isn't it? We are empty spiritually, and we don't even know it. We just keep on going. We never slow down enough to check and see if we have what we need. Because God gave it to us a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. We forget that over time, it leaks out. We need Him to restore and renew. And that's what Jesus is saying. Stay in relationship with Him. And that well of living water will satisfy you. You come to the place where you truly will have a cup that is overflowing. So tonight, if you don't know Him, if there's never been a time when you've been in relationship with Him, I would challenge you to open your heart to Him. If perhaps you find yourself a little empty, that water that He promised seems to have run dry, and you need Him to recharge and renew and restore, it's very easy. All you have to do is open your heart. It's exactly what He said to the woman at the well. Just be open to what God wants to do, and you find it by drawing from Him, staying in relationship with Him. Worship, prayer, in His Word, and being quiet in His presence and allowing Him to restore and renew. How full is your cup tonight? If it's empty, I want to challenge you to allow Him to restore and renew. You know what we had to do? We have a well here. We have a 1-inch, 2-inch, whatever well it is. But 15,000 gallons is a lot of water. We picked up the phone. We called the pool supply company. We said, hey, how about 10, 15,000 gallons of water? The next morning, there it was, full. God does exactly the same thing for us when we call. He fills us back up. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for the opportunity, the privilege that we have of allowing You to fill our heart and our life with Your Spirit. Lord, I confess to You that there are so many times in my life where I'm empty, and I keep on living like I'm full. I'm tapping on the side of the tank going, I can't be empty. There's a 15,000-gallon tank there. And yet, because I wasn't paying attention to my spiritual life, I've run dry. I pray for those who might be here tonight who are in exactly that same place. Lord, that they would allow You and Your Spirit to produce that well of living water that springs up to eternal life so that they will never thirst again. God, give us, by the power of Your Spirit, the ability to say, along with David, that our cup runs over. As we prepare our hearts, Lord, to come to Your table, to remind ourselves of Your blood that was shed on our behalf on the cross, of Your body that was broken through this bread and through this juice, God, I pray that that will be a way of restoring and renewing and bringing our cup back to a place of overflow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.